listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 18th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Oh, hey, Michael. I'm so glad to be here, you know, as always.
As always, so glad to have you. Thank you to those that join us live in the chat. We always appreciate your contributions. And thanks to those that catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight's topic, which I'm going to let Dr. Vicki get into for a minute so I can get after these wild animals that are in my house.
I've been chuckling, Michael, because I can hear
it's
them.
Just, I know. I know. But you have, and they're very active. It's gotten a little bit chilly here in Florida, so they're very, you know, frisky. But you had a great topic, celebrating yourself.
We're going to talk about that tonight. And
hey.
Just a heads up, everybody.
Hey, stop. Oh, I thought I muted myself.
Well, he didn't mute.
Oh, no.
That's funny. You know, just a heads up for everybody. Next Wednesday, we're going to take the night off. Sorry, everybody. We are going to take the night off because it's my birthday. And my kids are having a barbecue for me. And I said, you know, we could do it on Tuesday or Thursday. And they said, no, Mom, Wednesday's your birthday. I said, okay. So that's why, you know, it occurred to me, I have to be reminded as well about celebrating the self. And, you know, Michael and I take so few Wednesdays off in a whole year that I thought, you know what, it's okay, I can do this. And it's about having that moment to yourself to say nothing else matters other than, oh, I'm still here. Thanks, Tabitha. Happy birthday. I appreciate that. We got a heads up for Tabitha here also because she just graduated with her PhD on Friday. So lots of reasons to celebrate. And again,
Absolutely. Celebrating
yourself. So, Tabitha, you've worked really hard through the program. I know how important this was to you. And you have that doctorate in your title now. She says, I'm a doctor now. And see, that's another reason, celebrating yourself. And Tabitha's saying, hey, everybody, look at me. Look what I got. And she got it on Friday the 13th, of all things. So it's kind of fun. It's a good lucky day. And so it's, I know a lot of people, I've met lots of folks in my life who are 20, 30, 40 years old and never had a birthday cake, never, you know, celebrated their birthdays. You know, no, I don't want to do that. And I go, wow, well, you're getting a cake anyway. You know, and that notion of celebrating the self is like foreign to them and feeling kind of uneasy with it or uncomfortable or, well, I wasn't raised that way. You know, my parents didn't do that. And I do realize there's a lot of cultures or religions that don't allow for that. And yet in my world, that's, in my kids, it's, we celebrate. I'm so glad you're here. And it, like, whew, this is awesome. So I have to do that for myself. I can't give to others what I don't give to myself. So it's that celebrating, you know, even the challenges that you have in life and overcoming those challenges. Michael and I were talking before the program how he had had a conversation recently with somebody, and you go ahead with this, Michael, about celebrating your victories.
Absolutely. And I have a colleague at work who's really been down on herself, and she's been just feeling like she can't do it. She's feeling like she can't do the job. And I just reminded her there's a lot of things you do well, and you're conscientious. You think about these things. But it's important, especially for conscientious people, to celebrate your victories, to remind yourself of what you do well, and to incorporate that into it. So it was just good timing. And I can also touch base on the idea of not wanting to celebrate yourself, like for your birthdays and things like that, because, you know, I was raised as Jehovah's Witness. I didn't celebrate a birthday until I was 13. So for me, it was just kind of different and kind of odd to focus on myself like that.
Well, and that's what I mean. It's a, you're not comfortable with it, then you say, well, what is this? What am I supposed to do? And because the attention is toward you. And again, a lot of people are very uncomfortable with that. And so there's a lot to be learned about the self through that process. And, you know, there's one thing to be modest and humble versus of, you know, wanting to be invisible and not seen and, you know, kind of almost self-deprecating, you know. It's like, no, I don't deserve that, that inferiority complex or that unworthiness. Everybody else deserves more than I do. And so we have to face those things in ourselves when we don't celebrate ourselves, looking at the reasons we don't. Wendy has said in the chat that she's always told her boys that birthdays are more worth celebrating than things like Christmas. And you took the words right out of my daughter's mouth the other day to me. We were having Sunday brunch talking about my birthday and what I wanted for my birthday and for a meal and stuff, because we're allowed you can pick your birthday dinner, whatever you want to have. And Quinn says, you know, sometimes we can fudge a little bit of the Yuletide date, mm-hmm. you know, or Easter date, you know, with everybody's schedule. There's a lot of dates we can fudge with, but not a birthday. We do not mess with birthdays. and so that's like that more important. And Wendy's also added, I love birthdays. You get the opportunity to celebrate the life of a person you care about. Now, on that note, I think I was in my mid-late 20s before I would tell somebody, oh, it's my birthday today. Because I would go through a day and, you know, meet people, I'm mm-hmm. at work, I'm doing stuff. I would never say, oh, it's my birthday.
Right. I still struggle with that, actually.
Do you?
I do. I never tell anybody it's my birthday. And, you know, I've never really thrown myself a party or, you know, gotten anything together for myself. But I will say I have good friends, and I did have a surprise birthday party once that I really appreciated.
Yeah, of course. You know, that's, but again, to be able to tell people it's your birthday is, hello, everybody, it's my birthday, you know, and feeling good about your birthday. People say, oh, are you special? Yeah, I am. It's my birthday. And you know what? Yeah. I made it to another year around the sun. So, and I went, I had lunch with a friend today. Her birthday's in September, mine late October. And so we pick a day sometime between our birthdays to celebrate it together. I've known Susan for 53 years. And we stayed in touch all this time after high school. It's 50 years ago this year that we graduated high school. So we both looked at each other at lunch today and said, where did it go? Like, you know, it's like, oh, your grandkids are how old? Mine are how old? It's like, oh, but we don't feel it, but we are. And I said, well, you know, we're only 2 years from 70. And she said, well, we should go somewhere. Do something special for 70. I said, as long as we don't go back home and visit all the people we used to know, I'm good with that.
So, yeah.
You know, it's I mean, that when you know somebody that long, it's really special. Because there are so few people that you carry on that kind of relationship with, that friendship with. And it's like, it's so valuable in your life. I equally value people I've known for even a few years and that connection that we feel. And I love to celebrate them as well as celebrate myself. And it's that sharing, that connection. That's all it is. It's like, oh, look, there's so many negative things. And as you said with the, you know, your colleague, Michael, you know, we tend to look at the negative. Mm-hmm. And rather than the up things. I had three kids. My second daughter was a bit of a challenge in raising. She's now like my best friend. She's amazing. She's in her 40s. And but I had to remind her when she was a kid, I can tell you I love you 100 times a day. You'll only remember the one time I was upset with you. So it's that focus, you see? And we tend to focus more on that negative thing.
We do.
And rather than the positives. And, of course, she's very different now, you know. She grew up and worked through things. But it's – go ahead.
It does take a bit of emotional maturity. And, you know, I have a thought. I'll want you to finish your thought, though.
No, and so I think that it's an evolution that we have of understanding our valuable moments and the challenges we've overcome. So it's not just saying, you know, I might have failed at this, I wasn't good at that, no, this piece of art is crap, or, you know, I had, you know, somebody looked at me the wrong way, or that guy honked at me in traffic. You know, all those little things that tend to upset us, we're overlooking the, if you have food and you have shelter and you have friends, and, you know, it's like keeping that perspective of how fortunate we are. And, you know, and look, even if you're going through a really crappy time, and I'm getting to the point here, you're going to have a really hard time. Remind yourself about what you do have, and knowing this is a really hard time in my life. I'm going through some really big challenges. I guess I needed something to do, and challenge yourself to think different, to feel different, observe yourself, be aware of yourself. And those are the successes. You know, those are the positives that come out. You wouldn't have learned more about yourself had you not gone through that. Mm-hmm. And that's a really important point to make. You can't know joy without the pain.
Absolutely. It's the duality of existence.
It is. And it's that... if you're just smooth sailing through your life and you don't know really any hardship, what joy do you know to feel? You know,
absolutely.
Do you know joy? So it's
absolutely. I think, like many things, life is a balance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about birthdays to celebrate yourself, but, you know, Dr. Mike had pointed out that for him personally, as he's gotten older, birthdays are just like another day, which is fine. I kind of feel that way, too, although... Yeah, I grew up, birthdays were never a big thing, but I think that you can celebrate yourself in any kind of way. You don't have to wait for your birthday. You can celebrate a victory. You can do this, that, and the other. The thought that I had earlier is I think that, like most things, balance is key. Mm. You know, because we should celebrate ourselves. It is healthy. It is right. But like everything else, if you focus on yourself too much, you know, you're a narcissist. But too little, now you're not giving yourself your own due. There's always that fine line.
You know, Dr. Mike has said, birthdays are fun and exciting when you're young. However, as you get older, they become just another day, my personal observation. You know, that I'm chuckling to myself because I kind of said that to Susan today at lunch. I said, I think what's kind of getting me is like that 69. I go through to 49, 59, 69, you know, and thinking, oh, end of a decade, and that kind of observation of, ooh, where did that go? I think as we become older, we want to kind of dismiss the age thing. You know, when I was 40, I wondered when I would become old enough to have some respect or consideration, or like I know something. And I chuckle to myself now because my daughter's going to be 45, and I have to remind myself that she's 45 going through menopause. And I hear her, and it's like a mirrored image of myself at that age, you know, and respecting her personal experience and stuff without injecting my own.
Right.
It's kind of humorous in a way. But for a moment, you know, in the last couple of days, I thought, I did good. You know, I had three kids that each found their own way in the world, are uniquely individual, and as I wanted it to be. I mean, that's what I'd hoped for them. And they're functioning. Now, that's easy for me to say because I had three good kids, and that's not always true for all families. You know, you can have really good parents, five kids, and one becomes a drug addict for whatever reasons, or an alcoholic, or we don't know what the reasons are. I think when I look at somebody who's got five kids and five for five are all screwed up, then I say, well, there's something wrong with this picture. But it's, you know, it's, we can actually think of, you know, Wendy says, take the day to pat yourself on the back. And I agree, that's kind of what I am doing this year is, wow, I got this far. Wow, I'm still here. You know, I look back and, oh, maybe I would have done some things differently if I'd known then what I know now, but it doesn't matter. It's a moot point. And I can say, yeah, I did good.
Exactly. And you had to go through that moment of challenge to learn the lesson, to grow, to increase your awareness. And that should be celebrated too.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the only thing I regret, Michael, is I wasn't born 6 days later.
Oh,
really? I wished I was a happy Halloween baby.
Well, that would line up nice, huh?
That would have been perfect.
Now, if I recall, doesn't the Julian calendar, isn't that offset a certain amount? I can't remember how many days, but maybe that'll line up. Maybe we can just use the Julian calendar.
Well, I think it kind of does, because Samhain is November 7 by a lot of Celtic beliefs or old traditional beliefs. It's the night of the dead on the 7th as opposed to October 31st. So, yeah, you know, I can fudge it.
I see. So it's going the wrong way, though, on that case.
Oh, okay.
Oh. I was trying to get you closer to your birthday.
Yeah,
sounds like it's going further away.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, it's like fast forward a few days and maybe that would have, you know, been my birthday. But the point being here, everyone, I hope that, you know, as Tabitha just completed her PhD, and that's monumental. That's so exciting to have gone through the program, being reflective for a moment and say, whoa. But if you've achieved one course, that's monumental. If you get to your bachelor's, that's, whew, celebrate that. And then your master's. Every step along the journey is a celebration, not just the conclusion, not just the ultimate prize. And that's what I'd like to impart to everybody is, if you've gotten through a day and you're pretty well intact, you've done good. You know, look at those small things that you did in a day and said, yeah, you know, And I know a lot of people in our little group here and those in the archives listening, you got stuff in your life. You know, some people have health issues. Some people have, you know, other issues. Some people have ongoing issues that, you know, for no fault of their own, go through these challenges. But within those challenges is you're still here. And you're still making those strides for the progress. And I got to tell you, I know that Dr. Zach is in the chat, Dr. Jeff is in the chat, and I know the both of you. And of all the people I know at IMHS and TFU, is you're the two who face some of the greatest challenges that there are in health issues and matters of your life. But it has not stopped either of you from being progressive, innovative, you know, motivating. You have bad days? Absolutely. You know, we all have bad days. You mm-hmm. have maybe days that are a little more amplified than anybody else. Mm-hmm. But you continue to go, to grow and go forward. And I want to say that you set an example for the rest of us. So everyone who's having challenges, who continues to persist, you set that energy in place for other people. And I commend you for that, and I'm so grateful to know you. And I celebrate you as much as I celebrate myself and my birthday, you know, because even in celebrating myself, I say, oh, look at all the wonderful people I know. You know, look at all this extraordinary journey that I've been on and these things I can do even every Wednesday night. So it's the good stuff, Michael.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, we have to remember the good things in life. We focus so much on the negative. We should take time to really focus on the good and to celebrate ourselves. And just to relay a story from chat, I think that we also need to remember, you know, how much we enjoy celebrating those that we love in our lives. And maybe that's a reason to share our birthdays, or, you know, help celebrate ourselves. Cause Dr. Mike was talking about his grandmother who passed away at 94. Her birthday was on December 25th and he was the only person who ever gave her a birthday present. Uh-huh. And that was a very special thing between them. And, you know, when we celebrate ourselves, it's also an opportunity for those that we love to celebrate us, just as we want to celebrate them. You know, it's a give and take on that.
Yeah, I know a couple of Indigenous communities that when it's your birthday, like if it's my birthday, I would get a gift from my mother. And it's very traditional where you go to the mother and thank the mother for what she's been through and for giving you life. And I think that's such an extraordinary, you know, kind of experience. You know, my mother passed in 1985, so by the time I learned this, it was way too late for me. But I've had a couple of other women in my life who represented kind of that motherly figure. And I made a point of, you know, my birthday, I would do something for them. And I just want to say I'm very grateful for you to be in my life and that I'm here and how much you've contributed to my life. And so that's something, too, that, you know, letting others know how important they are to you while you're celebrating yourself. Celebrating yourself, as you mentioned earlier, Michael, about that narcissism, it's not narcissistic. It's that self self-expression, this gratitude of I'm here. And, wow, like, I'm really here.
It's remembering your own value and your own worth. One thing we were talking about before we went live was also the, you know, the principle of do no harm, do right to self, to self and others. And that is something that critically is so lost. And I think that celebrating yourself is not narcissistic. But when you celebrate yourself to the exclusion of others, I think that can be a problem.
Well, I can't give away something I don't have for myself.
True enough. It's like the idea that you have to love yourself to love others.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's important. So
it very much is.
So while we're on that note, if anybody would like a card, we're ready. And we can continue this conversation while we get some names in the chat and start sharing with others.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I'm personally celebrating is the fact that, aside from that little mess up earlier, I've been very quick on the mute, and I have not yet talked when I was muted, so I'm going to celebrate that fact.
See, there's another little moment. See, I'm good at that. And that's, I guess, the thing about I know what I'm not good at, and I know we've talked about this in past programs, but I know what I'm not really particularly good at. But man, when I'm good at something, I'm on it. I am really good at this. And people look at you and say, how can you say that? Well, because I am.
And, you know, an interesting paradox I've seen is that people that are conscientious and that, you know, really focus on doing a good job are not always, but usually the most likely to not celebrate themselves and to look down on themselves.
I think that's true. Yeah, I think that's true. Oh, Mike. Okay, he said he's going to change his attitude about birthdays. January 1, he'll be 75. So please send money. I take cash.
Well, you know, I keep promising that paycheck for all the guest appearances is on the way. It's in the mail, so we'll just wait for that to get there. But January 1st, good birthday.
It is. You know, as I said to Susan, you know, if we're talking about, let's get to 70. Because at this point, and I'm sure Mike can appreciate this, as well as a few others who might be listening, is that you get to a certain age and every target gets smaller. You know, it's like, oh, let's get to 70. And I'm sure Mike said, oh, if I can get to 75, you know, okay, well, I don't know, will I get to 76?
You know? It's kind of moving the goalposts there to make them more within reach. You know, I keep saying that I want to be one of the first to reach 150, but I don't do anything in my lifestyle. I don't eat right. I don't exercise, but it'll work out.
It'll work out. You know, before we start, Dr. Zach and his husband went to Niagara Falls. Now, Zach and I had a little visit, a video visit a couple of weeks ago, and a few weeks ago. He had told me he's going to Niagara Falls in Canada, which is in Ontario. And I said, you're going to feel the difference of the vibe from the U.S. to Canada. And so he posted pictures of their trip on Facebook, and they were fabulous. It looked like they're having a great time. He says, Niagara Falls was beautiful, and Vicky, you're right, the Canadians are a lot nicer. Na, 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 na. I just had to throw that in, Michael.
Oh, I know. You like to, you know, you like to brag. And Canada is wonderful. You know, I've been there a couple, three times before Vicky had me banned with the Mounties. But no, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's great. I'm glad you had a great trip, Zach. So let's start with Tabitha, shall we? We've got, again, our recent graduate with a PhD, you know, cryptozoology and all the other things that she took. I mean, that's extraordinary. Good for you, Tabitha. We've had Tabitha on the program, you know, a couple of times. She's always a great amount of fun and interesting. So let's see what we have for Tabitha.
Absolutely. And, you know, a new guest here, Zoran, he admitted that last week he didn't know what we were talking about when we went to the cards. So just a quick primer. We have the Inner Oracle cards from ICMH that I'll read from a guidebook. I have the easy part. And then Dr. Vicky's going to pull a tarot card, and she's going to relay what it means to her and kind of how that relates to you. So, all right. First card of the evening is a wild card. It is wild card number 4, unknowable. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
I got that 9 of diamonds. It says to me, there's always a message of satisfaction in home and your environment kind of thing. But I had this flash, and of course I use the Rider-Waite deck, but this flash of, you know, people who train those hawks to go hunting, and they have a hood on them, and then they, you know, take the hood off and they go get the whatever. And I feel what I thought of is someone's familial. and witches have the familial, you know, that spirit animal that you have with you. I hope you're following me. I think Tabitha knows what I'm talking about. It's just something that you're being introduced to spiritually, that acquiring a new familial kind of thing that brings you a greater sense of peace in your life. And so I want to say pay attention, Tabitha, to new energies and new kind of messages that might be coming to you, because I think you're on to something that's expanding your consciousness and maybe a new spirit guide. But it might come in the form of a bird or something. So maybe I've been watching too much Harry Potter, but that's what I'm feeling there. So I think there's something really cool about to happen.
Very interesting. If you get an owl with a message, just keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Harry Potter reference. All right. We have Dr. Deb next, if I'm not mistaken. And for you, I have number 27, gains. Let's see. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
The Ten of Hearts. Now, that's satisfaction in matters of family, relationships. And the first impression I get here, Deb, is that there might have been a challenge in the family. And I think that that's it kind of being overcome, or a new sense of communication, a new understanding. So gains doesn't always have to be a physical thing. It can also be an emotional connection or knowledge or something that you're regaining in your life. So I think that there's some progress being made in matters of relationships and family, and I hope that makes sense to you. So. You know, I want to inject here, Dr. Mugg says, sometimes he feels like he's circling the drain at this point in life. And Wendy says, age is just a number, Dr. Mike, be young at heart. And I said, that's always easy for younger people to say, Wendy. I totally understand circling the drain.
yeah.
I have to say that. I'm defending Mike here.
Oh, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, heck, I felt like I'm circling the drain when I was in my early 20s. So I think it can be, you know, independent of that, but I understand what you're saying.
So Dr. Mike added, Wendy, I tried last week and was down on my back for 3 days. LOL. You know, and that's true. The body is a full-time job.
Yes,
again,
it is.
People my age, friends of mine were all around the same age group, and I'd say this, you know, the body is a full-time job. You have to pay attention to it. You can't go down the stairs the same way. You have to take one at a time. When Susan and I went today for lunch, we had to go up these two like slight flights of stairs, a really cool little, you know, back off the track kind of Thai place, and it's way upstairs. And I thought by the time I got to the top, I was going to die. and I looked at her, I said, I don't know how many times we could do that. So when I was going down, I said, well, going down the stairs is going to be easier than going up. So it's kind of fun. But it's true. There's other things that you have to take care of as you get older. So just a number, yes. We like to think that. Be young at heart. Sure, I think I have a lot of energy. I don't think of myself as my age, but my body sure tells me otherwise.
Oh, yeah. You know, just a little quick aside. Again, I'm 37. I'm getting up there, but not up there. But I have noticed that things don't happen as quickly as they used to in terms of getting in shape or my, you know. I was in South Dakota on the recent trip, and I was hiking up a mountain, and thank God I had one of my dogs that was pulling on a leash to drag me up the heck hiking trail.
I can totally appreciate that. Okay,
I think we have Dr.
You,
yep, you read mind reader, you.
Yeah.
All right, we have number 22, think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
I got the Seven of Hearts. And that's generally, as I see that symbol, it's discerning between illusion versus dreams and realities. You know, it's discerning between those things. But the think for yourself, Wendy said that you had this card, Jeff, back on 111. So again, just something to note there that it's a repeat. I think that the think for yourself and the Seven of Hearts is kind of a reminder of what's real. And, you know, Dr. Kelly saying, you know, if it's an opinion, you know, never mind. And if it's a principle, stand firm. But what just flashed in my head, I saw an interview with Suzanne's husband, Alan Hamill, the late Suzanne Summers, who, extraordinary woman. And one of the things that he commented on is the first 10 years were turbulent in their relationship. And then one day Suzanne looked at him and said, look, let's just surrender. I'll do what you want me to do. You do what I want you to do. And we'll just respect each other and surrender. And after that, they were like two peas in a pod instead of that power struggling. You know, about who's right, who's wrong, who wants what. And I don't know why that pops in my head for you, Jeff. So if that makes sense in something that you're going through or something that you're internally feeling, it's still you are yourself, but being interdependent, not codependent, it's interdependent. And whether that's in your partnership, in your relationship, or in some other matter in your life, I feel like that's a message to you. So sometimes I feel like I'm trespassing with these things, but I totally appreciate Tabitha's feedback, Deb's feedback, and I'm glad that you can relate to what's said. So we have Dr. Mike next, who's going to be 75.
All right, Dr. Mike, let's see what I have for you tonight. And I do apologize if you can hear my cat being murdered in the background. Surely this is the most dramatic thing that's ever happened to her. But all right, Mike, I have for you number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Well, strangely enough, I got the tower, Mike. And so I'm asking, what is that about, taking your power back, tower? So I also selected another one, which is judgment. And again, two major arcanas coming up in support of that power back really tells me something here, and it has nothing to do with your health and the fact you were on your back for 3 days last week. So the tower, really, you have the foundation, but the top is being rebuilt. So sometimes we change our ideas or our delivery, things that, you know, above, but your foundation, who you are, is solid. And it's kind of like how you take that to the world, because judgment is always about announcement, declaring, how you speak to the world. So it might be that you're changing your, not your position, but the language, and changing the style of communication to others. So you may be in dialogue with other people or having conversations, or it's a project that you've been invited into, and it's just being observant to stay firm in who you are, but also you know, how you deliver it might, you know, need a tweak or two depending on the audience. And I always say this, it's part of what we have to be aware of is who's the audience.
Mm, very good point.
Yeah.
All right. I think we skipped Wendy. She's getting a card, and I think we went to Dr. Mike too soon. But Wendy, I have a good card for you. It's wild card. Excuse me. Just had it. I'm so sorry. Wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Well, you know, very interesting, Wendy. I got the 4 of spades. Now, the 4 of spades is often an indicator of a rest time, taking it easy, pulling back a little bit. You know, it could be 4 days, 4 weeks, just something where, you know, with hope, it's just take time out and observe. So not necessarily to participate really hard, but to step back and just chill and say, huh, you know, watch the show. So I think that's something that for you at the moment, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, like a little notation. It's chill out. You don't have to participate in everything that's going on. Hope that makes sense, Wendy.
Good message. I like it. Now, I think we have Dr. Zach next, if I'm right.
Okay.
All right. And Dr. Zach, for you, I have wild card number 2, wild card kind of night, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing, by so doing, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Oh, Queen of Diamonds, Zach. And then some, Queen of Diamonds. How do I relate that one to the other? Again, that tarot is the support card. I'm going to go with a project where there's an involvement with a woman, and it's progressive financially, can do with your work, somebody who can help you segue from one point to the other. It's the and then some. You know, sometimes we move forward into a place we couldn't have imagined because we only dream about a reality we know. And then we step into a reality, oh, this is unfamiliar, but there's a segue point into that saying, whew, this is new. And I feel like somebody's a catalyst for you, Zach. So I want to say pay attention to a female ally. Huh? Cool.
To Wendy, I'm not sure which you're referring to. I think probably Dr. Zach, he had wild card number 2. All right. Sorry. And let's see. Oh, I lost my list.
Zoran?
Okay. All right. And for you, let's see. I have number 31, sacred obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
You know, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, and I'm just going to go with Zoran, if that's all right with you. Sacred obligations supported by the Emperor is always about power and keeping our philosophies in check, even if we're in positions of power. Or it may be that you're dealing with somebody who has a position of power, and you staying in check with your own beliefs and own philosophies and not to buy into that power. So it can go one way or the other, Zoran. So, you know, I used to wonder about matters of business, right? And I'm sure you can appreciate this, Michael. What's ethical in business? Well, the ethics of business is we hope we realize that people are dealing with people. But really, the game of business is knowing the rules. And if you don't know the rules, you're always going to feel cheated if you don't win. So that's the thing. But when you know the rules of business or the game of the business world, then you can participate, but still with your own ethics intact, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like playing chess sometimes. And if, you know, you can still be a good human being and play chess. You just have to know the strategies of the chess game, and it's not personal. It's that's the game. So I don't know why I want to say that to you, Zoran, but it's and again, it could be somebody you're dealing with who feels like they're kind of important and you're dealing with them. Or it's also recognizing in yourself that, you know, whatever kind of authority or position that you have, it's still checking in with who you are. So, again, I hope that makes sense. You can relate to it. So, I think that's all the names that I've found.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah. And it was a great message. And Zoran, I apologize. I know I'm probably butchering it. But this is why I say that Dr. Vicky has the hard part. She has these intuitions and these insights that are just, you know, spot on more often than not. In fact, I don't think I can recall a time that wasn't. But I can't tell you how much I appreciate, you know, listening to these things. And as much as it, you get good feedback from the people you're drawing the card for, I can't tell you how many times it's connected with me, too. So I appreciate that.
And Zoran just wrote, it totally makes sense. And yes, we're pronouncing his name correctly, Zoran. So thank you for that. And welcome to the group. Welcome to our Wednesday nights. I know you mentioned this, you were here last week and didn't quite understand, you know, what we were doing, but you're here and we're glad to have you. You know, people come and go on our Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. We have our regulars but we have a lot of people in the archives, and we always appreciate that because, you know, it's the time of the week, and on a weeknight, it's not always convenient for people, and we have this massive time difference mm-hmm. for all the many countries that IMHS and TFU have students within. So,
absolutely, and you know, life is busy, and not everybody has a Wednesday evening off. They have to work for things. So, you know, we do get feedback from people that listen to the archives. We know you're out there, and we appreciate you.
We do indeed, and thank you for the birthday wishes, everybody. And I'm going to enjoy a barbecue, a baked potato, steak, and garden beets baked in the barbecue. I love beets. And some string beans, and that's my thing. But I am doing the vegan pumpkin cheesecake.
Oh.
Because for those of you who don't know, I am dairy-free. So
that sounds great. So I'm gonna sneak my way across the border into Canada, and I'm going to show up unannounced, and I'm going to enjoy part of it, too. Hey, well, Reddit, let's get Wendy. Let's get Wendy to fly up and join us. Why not?
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome. That would be great fun. No, and just for the record, everybody, it's only because I'm allergic to dairy. I'm a vegan meat eater, which is kind of a irony.
Well, yeah, I think you just avoid dairy, right?
No. I've begun to reintroduce eggs once a week into my eating program, and I'm fine, but absolutely no cheese and milk. I'm totally allergic and have really bad reactions, and that's been that way for 30 years, so I don't miss it at all. There's all kinds of, you know, other supplements and alternatives that I'm very happy have come along in the last couple of decades. So I'm fine. I do good. So, but you know, a vegan cheesecake, Wendy says, I'm in. She says, I make the best pumpkin cheesecake. Well, it has to be a vegan pumpkin cheesecake.
Just because it's Dr. Vicky's birthday, you make the cheesecake with whatever you like for me, and then we'll make Dr. Vicky watch while we eat it.
Yay!
It's fine. But I tell you, one of the things that I'm personally celebrating about myself is that I'm not lactose intolerant or allergic. I think I was told, not that I recall, but I was told that one of my first sayings was, cheese, bees. So anytime they were cooking with cheese, I would say, cheese, please, or bees, because I didn't know how to do L's, I guess. But no, just wishing you an absolute happy birthday. And
thank you.
As we wrap up, just a reminder, we won't be on next week, but I hope that we're all going to be celebrating Dr. Vicky's birthday in our own way. And any last thoughts?
We'll be back on November 1st, and we're hoping, everybody, that that's when we have... Who?
I believe Jerry.
We think we have Jerry on, which is
in November, and I'm pretty sure it's the first Wednesday in November, so we're going to confirm that with email, and we'll do an announcement.
Well, I wanted you to go out on a limb, not me. But we have so many more things to look forward to, and, you know, at the end of the year, I'm going to join up with Wendy again for seeing what kinds of... you know, patterns we have and what cards have been pulled for people. And I do have a big file now for my what tarot cards have been coming up. And I have, of course, there's way more tarot cards than there are inner oracle self-discovery cards. And I'm not necessarily seeing a pattern yet, but, you know, by December we'll certainly look at that. So we have lots of things to look forward to, Michael.
Lots of stuff coming this year. And just another shout-out to Wendy, our card keeper, because she did this on her own. She added such a value to our discussions, and just thank you for that. So, as we wrap up, just a wonderful discussion about reminding ourselves to celebrate ourselves. Remember to do no harm and do right to self and others. And we're looking forward to joining us the week after next. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.